Well, good morning, Walsall. It's a delight to be here in your midst again here at this cold October morning. Here to warm your hearts with the gospel, the good news, glad tidings that there is a saviour, a mediator, one appointed by God to bring you back to God, but only one, and his name is Jesus, Jesus alone, no other. No other good enough to open heaven's gate and allow us in. Only he, the Son of God, could do that, and he has done it. And all that's left to you, and to me, to us, is to believe, is to trust in God, our Maker, and in his appointed Mediator, Redeemer. So I say to you, or rather Jesus does, he says you must be born again. You must be born again. No other way. You must be born again. Go where you will, go to Mecca, go to Rome. Go wherever you would roam, but you must be born again. No other way until a woman's made alive, because we be all dead in our trespasses and sins. This is the problem. This is the whole root of the matter. You know, Jesus commands you to repent, but you say, I can't. Of course you can't, because you're dead. Oh, and commands you to believe, but you say, I can't. No, because you're dead. What can a dead man, what can a dead woman do? And what can a dead prophet do for you? What can a dead pope do for you? What can a dead religion do for you? When you're dead, there's only one thing that you need, and that's life. And there's only one person who can give you life. Only one person who can give you that repentance, that faith that Jesus demands of you in order to be saved. Only he can give it to you. That's why he says you must be born again. That's why he tells you to come to him. To life. It's life that you need, not religion. It's life. And only Jesus can give you life, because he's the author of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life, he says. I am the resurrection and the life, he says. So, you see, you know, the only cure for death, you know, is life. And life is in the gospel. What is the gospel? Jesus Christ, he's the gospel. He's the life, he's the way. Two lives, you come to him and you get life. You touch him, connect with him. And the moment you do so, his life begins to flow into your soul, makes you alive, and enables you to do these things that he commands of you. That is to repent and believe the gospel. But until he makes you alive, until he breathes the breath of life into your soul, you cannot and never will live, love God, well, as you should, as you ought to do. So this is the good news, the gospel, the glad tidings, that God so loved the world, gave his only Son, sent him into the world that you might have life, and come that they might have life, and that they might have it in all its fullness, says Jesus. He came that you might have this life. God sent them that you might have this life. This is the love of God for your souls, Walsall sinners, religious sinners, holy sinners, unholy sinners, all kinds of sinners, whatever you be. Life in Jesus, in the Son of God, and him alone. So, friends, come to Jesus today. He bids you to come to me, and I'll save you. I'll put life into your soul. I'll give you the ability, I'll give you the enablement to do that which is required of you. That is that you should repent and believe the gospel and be saved. Glad tidings, good news, God's love, Christ, dead for sinners, and alive to justify them, to make them right through faith in his name. By the grace of God, by grace through faith, are we saved? Not of ourselves, because we can't do it ourselves. We can't repent of ourselves, believe of ourselves. We can't do anything of ourselves because we'd be dead, spiritually dead. You must be born again. It's imperative. There's no other way out of death but through life. And Jesus died that this life might be yours. The life is in the blood. His blood shed on a cross for sinners lost, dead, undone, ruined, without hope in this world. Jesus shed that precious divine blood on that cross, that through it that you might have life, eternal, everlasting. Whoever believes in him, in the Son of God, whoever believes in Jesus, has everlasting, eternal life. So the problem we are faced with, of course, is the problem of sin that leads to death. That's where it comes from. You see, we're conceived in sin, we're born in sin, as I keep telling you. And we live in sin and die in sin, but for the grace of God, but for the breath of divine life coming to us, making us alive, God by his sovereign mercy, grace and power, breathing life into your dead soul. Only then shall you live. Only then, of course, shall you do that which God requires of you. Repent, that is. Believe the gospel. It's the sin factor. You see here, the psalmist, he says, he made streams come out of the rock. This is in the wilderness, the Old Testament, caused waters to flow down like rivers. And yet they sinned still more against him, rebelling against the Most High. Yes. Can you? Phil, would you help us, young lady? Yet they sinned still more rebelling against the Most High. They tested God in their heart by demanding the food that they craved. You know, it's just that rebellion, that sin nature that's in us all. Every one of us, you know, without exception. No exceptions, you know, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all got that rebellious streak within us, you know. And this is a people, you know, that God blessed, God delivered, God saved out of bondage, you know. And yet still, again and again and again, they rebel against God because we've all got that nature, that rebellious nature within us. And rebels against all kinds of authority. Doesn't matter who it is. Mother, father, the police, the judiciary, you know, the judge, you know. Rebellious nature in us all. It's that sin factor that leads to death. The wages of sin is death. I say that's the end of it. That's it. When it's full blown, when it runs its full course, It ends in death. The sin factor. You can't escape it. It's in us all. That simple, that rebellious nature. But it's that God in his love sent his son Jesus into the world in order that sin nature, that rebellious streak in you, that it might be extracted from you. That you might be delivered from it. That the power of it might be broken. But how? Well, you must be born again. Unless a man is born again, he can't see. He can't begin to understand. He doesn't even see. He doesn't even understand that rebellious nature within him. Oh, it's in him. It's in you all. And you suffer the consequences of it. But you still don't get it. You still don't understand it. It's the sin factor working in you and through you. You do the most stupid things and it gets you into all kinds of stupid trouble. And still you don't get it, still you don't understand it. You know? You think, well, I can change myself, I can reform my life, you know, I can become good. Well, I learned my lesson, I did it wrong, I'll get it right the next time. But no, you don't. You keep going back to it, you know, like the Bible says, you know, like the dog returning to its own vomit. You just keep going back to it again and again and again. More and more trouble. More and more time in prison. You know? More and more time in brokenness because of that sin factor that's working in you and through you. But you don't get it. You don't understand it. You don't see it. Until that is, God awakens you, until God opens your eyes, removes the blindness, removes the deadness, breathes life into your soul, raises you up, resurrects you, not makes you religious, but resurrects you from the dead, puts life into your soul, gives you understanding, switches the light on in your sin-darkened mind, and then you begin to get it. I'm a sinner. It's against God that I've sinned. It's because I'm a sinner by nature. It's because this is the way that I was born. I came into the world. I'm a sinner, but there's hope in that. Because Jesus said, I didn't come to call the righteous. I didn't come to call the goody-goodies. I didn't come to call those who say that they have no sin. I didn't come to call them. I didn't come to call those who say, well, I've got my own religion, thank you very much. I've got Muhammad, I've got the Pope, you know, I've got the Watchtower Society. I'm good to go. I didn't come to call them. I didn't come to call the righteous. I didn't come to call the self-righteous. I didn't come to call those who say I can do this thing, you know. I can do it. Me. That's the very essence of the sin factor. The letter I is the central word of the word sin. I. Me. Well, I. Me can't do it. Itself. You need Jesus. Only Jesus. Only He can awaken you. Only He can breathe the breath of life into your soul. Only He can cause you to be born again. Born of God, not of yourself, not of your own will, not of man's will, not of the flesh. The flesh profits nothing, says Jesus. You must be born again. Go where you will. Mecca, Rome, go wherever you choose to roam, but you must be born again. No other way by which a man may enter the kingdom of God. No other way by which a man may repent, believe, do the things that God commands you to do. Born again of God, into the kingdom of God, awakened, enlightened, to see for the first time what it is that you are. The rock from which you've been hewn. Adam's nature in you. A sin nature, a rebellious nature. Sinning against God. No matter the goodness He gives you. No matter what He puts on your table. Never a word of thanks. No matter what He fills your bank account with, no matter what he fills your home with, no matter the smart trainers He puts on your feet, never a word of thankfulness to God, never a word of acknowledgement, just continually just like these people of old, yet they sin still more against him, rebelling against him more and more and more. And the longer you live, the more you do it, the more accountable, the more damnable you become, treasuring up wrath for the day of God's wrath, the day when he will visit you in judgment. Unless that is today, God sovereignly and freely breathes through the gospel I'm preaching to you here today, breathes the breath of life into your soul, awakens you, enlightens you, switches the light on in your sin-darkened mind, and gives you the understanding, I'm a sinner, and what do sinners need? They need a Savior, and there's only one Savior, and his name is Jesus. Only he can save you from that sin factor that's working in you and through you and bringing you to death, because that's the end. That's the end of sin. Death. Death instead of life. Everlasting death instead of everlasting life. Unquenchable flames instead of unquenchable love of God one day in heaven. So that sin factor, you see, that rebellion factor, that iniquity, sin is all, every single one of us. And it brings upon us the wrath of God. Because the Bible tells us quite plainly, you see, this is the reason why we come to you with the gospel. And of course, it's our delight to do so. To bring this gospel to you again and again and again, in the hope that you'll get it, you'll understand why it is that the displeasure, the wrath of God is upon sinners. Listen up to what God says here, you know, in his word. He tells us quite clearly, you know, that the wrath of God is upon the sinners. Find it in a minute. The righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. That's how you get right with God, through faith in the Son of God. There we go. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so that they are without excuse. That's every man, woman, and child born into this world. No excuse, none whatsoever. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them but give approval to those who practice them. That's the sin factor. working in and through you. And because of it, the wrath of God lies upon you. And because of it, God gives you over to debased minds to do those things that are not fitting for you to do, for any human being to do. It's the sin factor. It's in us all. It's in you. And you need saving from it. And there's only one who can save you from it. There's only one means by which you can be rescued from the sin factor. It's the gospel that I preach to you. Jesus Christ and Him crucified, dead and buried, and raised again from the dead. Crucified. Shed His precious blood on that cross. That divine blood upon the cross. That you might be washed and made clean. That the power of the sin factor, the rebellious nature in you, that it might be broken, that you might be set free, that you might be liberated. Shed His divine blood and rose again from the dead in order that you might live and that you might not die in your sin, that is. Because whoever believes in the Son and whoever believes in Jesus shall not perish but have eternal life in the Son of God, who loved sinners and gave Himself for them, who died for them, who rose again from the dead, that they might have this life, that the sin factor might be dealt with. But you must come to Him. You must trust in Him, believe in Him. You must repent and believe the gospel. Oh, but you can't. I can't, you say. I've tried, you say. I've tried this business. Again and again I've tried, but I can't do it, so help me. No, of course you can. You must be born again. Unless a man is born again, he can't see. He's blind. He can't see the sin factor in him. He can't see the rebellion in him, the nature in him. He can't see the Son of God. He can't see the kingdom of God. He can't see Jesus. He can't see himself. He can't see afar off. He can't see the judgment that's coming that awaits him. Blind, 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 until Jesus, the healer of the blind, the one who came to give eyesight to the blind, the one who came that you might see. But you must be born again. There's no other way by which a man or woman can repent, can believe, can be saved, can receive life until God breathes the breath of life into you by His Son Jesus, whom He sent. But the good news, the glad tidings are that we have a Savior. There is one that God has sent to do the business, and He's here amongst you. He's here. His presence is here in the preaching of the gospel. Seek first, He says, the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, for He will abundantly pardon, show mercy. Seek the Lord while He is near. He comes near to you. His presence is everywhere. Where do you go to hide? Where do you go to find shelter from the presence of God? You go up, He's there. Down, He's there. To the left, to the right, He's everywhere. He's the everywhere God. There's no escaping His presence. He's here now, in your midst now. And oh, so present. Oh, so very near to you. When the gospel, when the good news, the glad tidings, the message of His Son, that He Himself sent into the world, through whom you might be saved, He comes near to you, draws near to you, draw near to Him. call upon his name, and you shall be saved from the sin factor, that rebellious nature within you, within us all. Only he can break its power. Only he can cancel it and set you free and make you no longer a child of disobedience, but a child of obedience. No longer a child of wrath, but a child of God. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. But to them, as many as did receive him, to those that believed in his name, to them he gave the right, to them he gave the authority to become children of God. The sin factor, its power broken, cancelled, set free. How? By the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Sent into the world in the love of God, and who came in the love of God, and came in love for sinners, laid down his life, not taken from him, but laid it down so that you might be delivered, set free from the sin factor, in broken release, forgiven, pardoned, and given eternal life. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we declare to you here today, crucified, dead, and buried, and raised again, to justify you, to make you right, to make you righteous before God, to give you a perfect righteousness, one by which you'll be enabled to stand before God in that day when he judges you, as he will all men, must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. One day he'll be your judge. He's not your Savior, condemn you to everlasting death, unless that is, he gives you everlasting life, unless he gives you the gift of himself. He is the gift of God. He is the righteousness of God. He is the salvation of God. He is the redemption of God. Jesus, Jesus, it's him that you need. He is the gospel. He is the righteousness of God. He is the sanctification of God. He is the redemption of God. He is the wisdom of God. He is everything. Without him you have nothing. Without him you get nothing. You can't have the benefits without the benefactor. You can't have the gift of salvation without the Savior, the one who procured it, the one who worked for it, the one who toiled for it, the one who suffered for it, the one who bled and died for it, and the one who rose again from the dead in order that you might have it. It's a gift, but he is the gift, the inexpressible gift of God, his Son, for God so loved the world that he gave his Son. He is the gift. You take him and you get the benefit. You get the salvation. You get the forgiveness. You get the power. You get the sin factor, the rebellious nature in you broken and set free. Liberty, freedom. And the Savior, the one who came, the one who came that you might have that freedom. If the Son of God makes you free, you will be free. Oh, you'll be free indeed. Free from condemnation, no more. No longer any condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In him by faith, in him by believing, in him by coming to him, in him by being born again. Of God, not of yourself, not of your own will, not of the flesh, not of religion, not of the Watchtower Society, not of Mecca, not of Rome. Go where you will, wherever you choose to roam, but you must be born again. You must be born again. Have you been born again, lost soul sinners? Have you been born again? If you have, you would know it. You would know it. You would cry out with great joy. You would say, yes, yes, I've been born again. Jesus changed me. God transformed me. Delivered me from the sin factor. Yes, I've been born again. I'm a child of God. But I don't hear that from you. So I assume that you haven't been born again. But you must be, says Jesus. You must be born again. Unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Cannot enter the kingdom of God. I tell you, a day will come, whilst all sinners hear me. A day will come. If you've not been born again, you'll wish you had never been born at all. In that day when God judges you, when God judges you, if you've not been born again, there's not a place, a point in your life that you can point back to and say, yes, that's when God came to me in His grace. That's when God came to me in His love. That's when God came to me and changed me, transformed me. That's when God caused me to be born again. Unless you can point to such a time, such a place as that, I tell you, that day, you'll wish you had never been born at all. You'll wish you had never existed, I tell you. God will damn you to hell forever. Unless, lost soul sinner, you've been born again. Unless God puts life into your dead soul, resurrects you, raises you out of your tomb of darkness, of sin and unbelief, of wickedness and evil, that evil nature that you receive from your parents by natural generation and pass on to your children after you. Sinful, Adamic natures, unless those natures are changed by the mighty power of my gospel that I declare to you here today, unless you are born again of the mighty Spirit of God, unless you're raised from the dead by King Jesus, the King of glory, the great I am, the Savior of the world, the one who came into the world, who so loved the world, that He came into the world and lived and died, and loved, suffered and bled and died, in order that you might be delivered from, saved from your worst enemy, the sin factor within you, that rebellious nature against God, against your Maker, even against the Son of God. No matter what goodness He bestows upon you, no matter what He gives you, no matter what He lays upon your table, no matter what goodness you enjoy in this life, yet still you rebel against Him more and more until you reach that point where the cup is filled up and it's time for judgment. It's time for you to stand before your Maker. You close your eyes in death and you awaken on the other side and you behold the dreadful, dreadful judge of all the earth, who will condemn you to everlasting burning. Unless by the grace of God, unless by the sovereign grace of God, through the preaching of the gospel, the good news, the glad tidings of a Savior who is crucified, dead and buried and raised again, unless in the way of repentance and faith towards Him, unless you have been born again. But if you have been born again, if you have received life from the Savior, if He has sovereignly loved you, saved you, put life into your soul, and broken the power of the sin factor within you. When you close your eyes in death, and you open them the other side, you shall behold the Savior, the lovely Jesus, who will welcome you with open arms into his kingdom, his everlasting kingdom. Prepare for those who love him. Prepare for those who trust in him, who walk in the way of repentance and faith towards him. And so he goes on to say, to him he speaks of those, surely the wrath of man shall praise you, the remnant of wrath you will put on like a belt. The wrath of man doesn't work the righteousness of God. You look at man's religion. You look at Mecca's religion. And what do you see? Nothing but wrath and anger. Muhammad didn't come to heal and save. Muhammad came to hate and kill and destroy. That's all Mecca does. That's all Mecca's religion does. There's nothing but wrath there. And it's the same with Rome's religion. It's all the same man-made religion. It's the wrath of man. Well, the wrath of man, the Bible says, doesn't work the righteousness of God. Wrath of man. Well, of course, your wrath as well. You know, and God will be praised even in your wrath, he says, you know. You raise your voices in wrath and anger, you know, against the gospel. When the gospel has been preached, you know, you fall into a rage. We hear the naysayers. We hear your voices. We hear you complaining. We hear you muttering. In wrath and anger against the God who made you and gave you life and breath, but the God to whom you hate and sin against, no matter how much goodness he bestows upon you. But your wrath won't bring the righteousness of God to you. In fact, you just provoke him to more and more righteous wrath against you. But here's the thing. You can rage in anger and wrath against God and against the preaching of the gospel and against the preaching of his Son, against the message of his loving grace for those that he came to save. God will get praise, God will get glory from you. One way or the other, God will be glorified. God will get glory out of you. That's what he made you for, don't you know? Made you for his own glory, and he'll get glory out of you. He'll get glory out of you, even out of your wrath against him. God's truth will be vindicated in that day when he judges the world in righteousness. All men, all civilization, God will bring to judgment you as well. And God will either be glorified in your salvation or your damnation. But you will in the end. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You'll do it one way or the other. You won't do it today. Maybe perhaps in your wrath and your anger, you breathe out your hatred against God. Be shaking your head at woman. Huh? You're soon to be out of this world. Huh? What's the matter with you people? What's the matter with you? I ask you. God has so loved the world, he come to tell you of how you can be saved and know and experience the love and the salvation of God. and all you've got nothing but wrath and anger. Well, God will be praised. God will be glorified even in your wrath and anger against him. But you know something? God has done something wonderful and something wonderfully well in order that you might be delivered from that wrath and anger in you, that hatred. Can't you see it? Can't you see it in your world today? Can't you see it in your daily newspapers? Huh? That religion of hatred, they call it a religion of peace. That's the joke of the century. That's the joke of all history. A religion of peace. It's a religion of hatred. They hate Jews. They hate women. They hate everything that moves and breathes. They even hate one another. If they're not killing Jews, they're killing one another. Nothing but hatred in it. Nothing but the wrath of man against their fellow man, against God. Because that's how you come into the world. That's your nature. That's the sin factor working in you and through you. Hatred for God and hatred for your fellow man. That's why you're never done killing one another. Huh? And that's why you go about celebrating and supporting terrorist organizations. Shame on you. God will get glory. God will get glory. Whatever you do with my message, whatever you do with my gospel, whatever you do with God's good news, whatever your reaction, your response to it is, even your no response, God will get glory. Better you never heard the message. Better you never heard the preaching of the gospel than you reject it. Then you reject the man of sorrows who came that you might have resurrection, who came that you might live, who came that you might have life from the dead, who came that you might have salvation, who came that you might be delivered even from that wrath and anger that's in you. You get angry, you hear about God, you hear about his son, you hear about his salvation, and you get angry, and you don't even know why. You don't even know why. Well, I'll tell you why. It's because of that sin factor in you, working in you and through you. That's where the anger comes from. That's where your hatred comes from. And to embrace a religion that teaches hate and teaches killing, well, that's going to help you a lot, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's going to get the wrath and anger out of you, isn't it?
Yeah.
That just increases the sin factor in you, makes you more accountable when you embrace a false religion that promotes hatred and killing and terrorism. So repent. Repent. That's God's message for you. Turn from such and turn to God through his Son, Jesus Christ, the God of love and the God who so loved the world that he gave his Son who came. Not to destroy men's lives, not to kill men. I didn't come to kill, said Jesus. I came to heal, I came to save. So repent of your hateful religion. Your murdering, killing religion, repent of it, turn from it, forsake it, and turn to the gospel, turn to the person of God's Son, the lovely Lord Jesus Christ, who came that you might have love, and that you might be given the ability to love God and your fellow man, your neighbor. That's the very core of God's law, his commandments. that you should love God and love your neighbor. Not to do so is to face the judgment of God, as all men will. But when you stand before God in judgment in that day, God will have glory from you, one way or the other. His truth will be vindicated. His son will be vindicated. But will you be? Only if you believe. Only if you come to Jesus. Only if you repent and believe the gospel. Only. Only if Jesus has died for your sins and taken them away. But if you have not believed, if you have not been reborn, born again, in that day, God will get glory from you in his justice, in his righteous indignation and justice, in sending you to a lost eternity, the damnation of hell. So fear God, lost soul sinners. Fear God, not man. That's what you were made for, to fear God, to walk with God and to fear him. Not to fear him carnally, not to dread, but in awe, because he is an awesome God. He's the God who made heaven and earth. He's the God who controls it. He's the God who sustains it, who upholds it. He's the God who gave you life and being. He's the God who sustains your life, who holds your very next breath in his hand, his to give and his to take away. The one before whom you should walk in awe, an awesome God, miracle-working God, the God of justice and wrath. A God to be feared. A God to be respected, that is, very deeply. Respect his name. Respect his law. Respect his son. Respect his holy word. The gospel that I hold in my hand, the Bible. Read it for yourself. We'll give you a Bible if you please. Study the gospel. Meditate upon his son, Jesus. See how lovely he is. Mighty and powerful he is to change and transform you, the worst of you, to take that sin factor out of you, that hatred and wrath against God and against your neighbor out of you. Able to baptize you in his love and make you a child of God, a child of love. Loving God and loving your neighbor. Doing that which you should have been doing all your life long, but haven't been. So the sin factor, it's there. And only one who can take it away from you, only one who can break and cancel its power, the only Savior, the only Mediator, sent by God in his love, gave his only Son, the gift of God, the inexpressible gift of God's love for sinners, all kinds of sinners. Matters not what the sin is. Matters not how long you've been at it. Matters not how many, matters not how deep, matters not how disgusting. You can't shock God. He already knows anyway. Come to him. Acknowledge the truth. Acknowledge the truth of your sin before God. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confess. Not to the Pope, not to a priest, but to God. Through his Son, Jesus Christ, The one alone who has the authority to say to you, your sins are forgiven. That's what he came for, that you might be forgiven, that you might be transformed into a child of heaven, that you might be born again. You must be born again. Oh, soul sinners, born again by the power of God, the Spirit of God. Born again. Then and only then will you do what Jesus commands you to do. Repent and believe the gospel. Turn. Why will you die? The Lord says, when there is life, eternal, everlasting to be found in Jesus, coming to him, connecting with him by faith, you touch him and life begins to flow from him, the risen Jesus Christ, and his risen life begins to flow into your soul, and you begin to live for the first time in your earthly existence, to live, and to live forever. This is what he came for, and this is the gift of God, his Son. Take him. Came to his own, they didn't take him, you take him, and he'll give you the authority, the right to become a child of heaven, a child of God. Take him today, Walsall sinners. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. Get rid of the sin factor. His power broken in your heart, your life. Born again. Repent and believe the gospel. Why? Because the kingdom of God is in hand. That's the only way you can enter God's kingdom. I got Bibles, I got New Testaments, I got a Gospel of John here. God's written words, if you'd like to check these things out for yourself, see that they are so indeed according to God's word. His written word. Read, study, meditate upon the Son of God. See how lovely he is. Gentle, kind, meek, lowly, easy to be entreated, bids you to come to him, welcomes you with open arms. Read, see for yourself that it is so according to God's own infallible record. If you got a question, do feel free to come and ask it. Or you'd like somebody to pray for you, then we would be more than happy to do that for you also. But remember also, there's a Savior. There's a mediator, there's one able to bring you back to God, get you out of the sin factor, bring you to life, eternal, everlasting. Hope, the hope of eternal life in Jesus Christ, whom we declare to you here today. Just in him, believe on him, and you shall be saved. Come to me, he says, and I will save you. Woe, soul sinners. Come one, come all. Come whoever you be. Whoever is thirsty, let him come and drink. But in the very next breath, it says, whoever wills, let him come and drink freely. Without cost, without price, without any condition at all, come and drink at the fountain of eternal and everlasting life. Come today, lost all sinners. You may. God bless you and the mercy upon your precious, never dying soul.